Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today I'm conducting exit interviews with four of the final five players of Survivor 49. Up now, I have Christina Mills, fifth place finisher from this season. I feel like Christina played the type of game that the audience didn't really get to see, and I'm curious what her plan was when she was moving throughout this contest. Did she feel that she had a chance to win at Final Three? Had she gotten there? When was she such a big threat at Fire? And was her plan always to just get to Fire and knock out one of the big targets to win? And I also want to get into what her question to Savannah was really trying to get to the heart of. Obviously, she did not vote for Savannah, but was she hoping that that question was going to ultimately get other people to not vote for Savannah? And is there anything she wishes she would have done differently? I also have interviews with Sophie Bellarity, Savannah, and with Rizzo. Hopefully, we'll have Sage coming out tomorrow. But for now, enjoy this interview with Christina Mills. I am here with Christina Mills, fifth place finisher of Survivor 49. Christina, how you doing?
Oh my gosh, I'm on a high today. Seriously, I remember being on a high when I got booted out. I felt like I went out like screaming and kicking, and like I wasn't going out without a fight, and I feel like it was shown last night, and so I'm feeling really good today.
Yeah, I was critical throughout the season. I said, Christina doesn't have that killer instinct. She's not being a killer. What's going on? And then you asked Savannah that question at Final Tribal Council, and it's become like the most polarizing thing on the internet. And I said, man, I think I might have misread Christina a little bit. You wanted to get your point across without screaming, without yelling. And did you accomplish what you wanted to with that?
Absolutely. I actually wanted Savannah to prove me wrong. I really did. And I was like, hey, I value a social game, and this is something we've been doing all season, is like saying, do it for your family, do it for this person. And I just wanted to see, like, did you get to know me at all? And she did not prove me wrong.
And so what was the relationship like as you're going through the post-merge? Because I feel like your game, you were kind of going back and forth a little bit. You didn't seem to be in a lot of control, but who were you trying to work with? Because it felt like you and Savannah were just butting heads the entire time. So what was your plan? And on a vote like the Sophie Segretti vote, why go Sophie instead of Savannah?
So there is this really interesting dynamic where I actually felt very comfortable with my social game, and I'm very self-aware. And so yes, I got blindsided with, the Alex and the Juwan vote, but I saw everything that was happening. And I was like, I'm with this group of people, and they are making decisions that I don't necessarily agree with. But they are so stuck in making these decisions, and they're taking each other out when I'm trying to say, guys, let's do this, let's do that. And it gets to a point after the Juwan vote where I was like, you know what? No one's saying my name, and you guys are putting people on the jury that I'm very close with who would like potentially vote for me at the end. And so I'm gonna let it just happen. So, okay, you guys wanna get Sophie out over Savannah? Cool. Like, let's do it. That puts Sophie on the jury for me. Like, we're gonna get Steven out? Okay, like let's do it. That's potentially a vote for me at the end as well. And so I saw what was happening, and I was like, but you know what? My name's not being brought up. And it's kind of stacking the jury for me. So, okay, let's do it.
And so, who was your ideal final three then? When you got down to final five, did you feel like you had a chance against anybody, or were there certain people that you felt like you still needed to get out?
One, I would have had to beat Savannah on fire. Like, there's no even path for me if I don't beat her in fire. But and I'm gonna get roasted for this, but I really wanted to sit with Soph and Rizzo at the end, and I was very honest with them about wanting to do that because I actually think there's a chance. I was very close with the jury. I knew the way that they perceived people's games, and I had a pretty good shot at it, honestly.
And so, in terms of beating Savannah last night, we hear so much about you're the queen of fire. And clearly, Savannah and Rizzo were not that good at fire. It felt like Savannah got it a little bit quicker, but it took them a while. How quick were you making these fires? And were you going for like the Gabler Heidi record here if you were sitting down there?
Oh, probably not, because we at some let me back up. Matt did an amazing job and like original Hina with teaching us like basic survival skills. And fire was something that I just picked up on very quickly. And so when people were having trouble starting it or anything like that, like I would just come in and I could usually get it pretty fast. I know that there was probably no records being set because at the end I was like, I'm not going to expend all of my energy to make fire for people that like I'm not even working with. Like I don't need them to be comfortable. I'm okay, we're good. Like at one point Rizzo says, "Where do you get firewood at?" And we were like, "Are you serious right now?" And so I'm like, "Nope, I'm not going to expend my energy doing that. Nope."
So let's go back to the beginning. I feel like early on in the season, you were pretty invisible, right? We didn't really get to hear from Christina early on, and Hina kept winning, so we didn't really need to. You don't go to a tribal council until the Nate boot. What was going on in those early days for you? Who were you building relationships with? And what was kind of your plan and your feel for what was going on that original tribe and even your second tribe?
So with the original Hina, I was in a four-person alliance with Matt, MC, myself, and Steven. And now I know that they all kind of had all their other alliances, but that was kind of my plan, was sticking with them. Well, after Matt went on that challenge, he kind of came back and he was like a little sketchy. And I was like, if we ever go to tribal, like I'm throwing him under the bus first because he's already taught us all these survival skills. And I know people are just going to look at me as like a typical easy vote. And I'm like, actually, we're going to get him out first because I'm a number. And so I feel like I was pretty good. People asked me, were like, you nervous for sitting out? I was like, no, I knew I wasn't going anywhere. And then even like that second tribe swap, me and Alex got very close. And I knew like he was going to be my ride or die like after that. And so I was really, really doing well with like kind of building personal connections with people.
And the Alex feels like he was like kind of the enigma of the season. It felt like, you know, it seemed like he was going to go back with Sophie and then he didn't. Yeah. And then he's playing kind of with everybody. What was it for you that drew you to Alex?
Me and Alex are just, you know, when you just like, you guys just get each other. I was like, we're like non-romantic soulmates kind of situation. Like it was kind of like that Kyle and Camilla where they just like never even had to say anything. And they knew what you, like, that's kind of the relationship me and Alex have. And so for everyone else, they were like, Alex is going to do this or he may flip flop or he's like in the middle. But I was like, guys, I know Alex, calm down. He's like, he's with us. I promise, trust him. And that's just kind of the relationship that we had.
I love that. Let's talk about your idol here.
Yeah.
Did you feel like playing that wrong was kind of like a nail in your coffin? Not the necessarily the last one, but did you feel like that was going to be a huge obstacle you had to overcome after that happened? Or did you think it didn't matter?
No, I don't think it honestly mattered. And in hindsight, I'm still very happy that I made that move. I think the mistake is that Steven told about my idol because had he not done that, it wouldn't have got to Sage. He wouldn't have got to the Sofs who went through my bag. Like there were so many, like it would have worked and would have been a great move if the person that I was playing to protect it didn't tell about it. And then also, I mean, just knowing what I know now, the fact that Sophie had that knowledge is power. Like, I think she steals it the next one. So I'd rather at least play it on my terms than for it to get taken from me.
Yeah, exactly. And then they would have had everything, which you didn't.
And then they would have had every, like literally everything. And at least I tried to make a move. Like, granted it failed, but like, you got to give me a little credit. At least I tried.
And then when we're talking about maybe split votes and all these different things, we see you going and kind of telling Sophie Bellarity what's going on. And we see you telling other people that didn't feel like they were in your alliance. Did you just feel like that you had a working relationship with everybody and you felt like you could go to anybody? Or was there ever a part of you that says, man, why did I do that?
I do not remember telling Sophie about that split vote. I was like, was that shown out of context? Like, I don't really know why I did that. But I actually think I was trying to throw her off thinking we were voting for them and maybe voting for her. I really don't know. Mom brain is crazy. I wasn't sleeping out there. So I don't think I actually gave Sophie that much information, like beyond the one time that you all saw, but we'll see.
They showed it and it was like, she doesn't win. So let's show her.
No, I literally watched that back and I was like, why would I do that? Yeah. Like, did I do that? I don't remember that conversation at all.
Yeah. So then also you had one of the more emotional moments of the season talking about your mom and that moment. When did that start to hit you of really like, you know, you started missing your mom and everything really started to kind of connect to the point where now at this challenge, you have to let it out. When did that start? And like, why do you think it started to come up?
It came up after the Alex vote. I don't think you all really saw how close I was with MC and Alex. Like they were the people that like, they helped me stay in the game emotionally, mentally. They were kind of my rocks out there. I love saying like have a village and they were my village. And so them being voted out at the hands of people I'm supposed to trust, it just like, it shocked my world. And I was like, okay, so now I'm really truly here alone. And for the first time in my life, I'm alone. And when I felt like the way that I felt, I just wanted to call my mom. And I was like, oh great, all of you get to go home and the people you love will be there. I'm going home. My mom's still not going to be there. And so it was just the emotion of hitting that. And we get up to the challenge and I'm thinking like, okay, at least I'm not feeling great and I can at least do this challenge on my own. It's going to be an individual. And then it's a group challenge. It's like, so now I have to show up for people that I already don't want to be around because, you know, I don't want us to lose. And so it just like all of that at once, as soon as we got on that platform was like, I was already trying to hold it together. And when Jeff, he noticed it because I was always smiling and he was like, what's wrong? And it was just like everything came crashing at that moment.
Yeah, and Jeff, everybody always talks about Jeff just has such a way of when that stuff starts to happen, he knows, and he knows who to ask and when to ask, and it leads to these great TV moments. Something that you've obviously gotten so much flack for on the internet, Uncle Jay. What's up with Uncle Jay, and why do you think people are so aggravated by it?
Why is this a thing? Like, why? I don't understand. I really don't. This is something that I've called him the entire, like the first time I talked to Jeff, like I literally called him Uncle Jeffrey. And like if he was okay with it and he didn't have a problem with it, like why is it even a thing? It was a comfort thing, it was a Southern hospitality thing, it was an ode to Chelsea, who I, you know, like from Big Brother, which is a show I love. Like it there was why was it a thing? I don't know.
Well, welcome to Survivor Internet
I
fans.
know, I know, but I'm also like, there's so much more happening in the world that we can be upset about rather than just me calling him uncle.
So the last one I want to ask you then is, what was like one move that you wish people would have seen, or one thing that you wish people would have seen that didn't end up making the edit for you?
I think it was very much portrayed that Nate was just like a safe vote. And that was not true at all for me. Nate, I could tell, like, just through conversations with him, that he was gonna stick to Uli Strong. He was the, like, he was a physical strategic and social threat completely. He was kind of running a little bit his tribe. Like, they were gonna listen to him. He was the cool dad. He wanted to work with MC, and I think he's so charismatic that MC would have gone with him, which takes Steven, which takes everybody with him. And he did not want to work with me or Alex at all. He did not trust us. And back at the, you know, when we were on Uli with him, I said, we got to get him out. And so I played it as kind of like the safe role, so that, you know, the alliance, the big whatever, would get on board with it. But like, I needed Nate out of the game.
I love that. And thank you for shedding light on that, because that makes a lot of sense there. So, well, Christina, it was a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so
You
much.
too.
And congrats on
Thank
making the finale, getting
you.
fifth, and
Yay.
all the best in the future.
Thank you so much. This is fun.
Bye, everybody.